Let's take our Bibles this morning, and we'll open up to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. We're going to read just the first couple of verses of this chapter this morning. I ask that you stand out of respect to the Word of God as we do so. Hebrews, chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and as we look into your word this morning, we ask your Holy Spirit would take control of our hearts and our minds and direct our thoughts heavenward through your Scriptures, that we might hear the small, still voice that seeks to minister to us just now. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We've been obviously looking at the subject of anger. And I had a whole different message ready for this morning. And this morning, as I was going over things, the Lord just kind of impressed on my heart to change it just a little bit. Because we're going to talk about anger. And so we'll finish that up eventually. But I got to thinking, it's been so broken up with special speakers and different things that I want to be clear on how you can resolve the anger in your life if you deal with that, or how you can help someone else who does deal with that. In fact, the title of the message this morning is just simply How to Conquer Sin. Because anger, most anger, not all, we saw that, most anger is sin. And it's like any other sin. It can be conquered. And so I just wanted to lump all in one message how to do that. And I hope this is helpful this morning. Just try to be very practical. And in the first verse here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, I have the first point for how to conquer sin. There's going to be 5 in all. But the first thing we need to do, if we're going to conquer anger or any other sin that is in our lives, we need to, first of all, recognize the problem. Recognize the problem. It's easy to deny problems in our lives, especially sin problems, because we justify them. The devil will whisper in our ear and say, well, that's just a natural thing to do. Or look at everybody else doing the same thing you're doing. Certainly that can't be sin. Or the devil will whisper, God hasn't brought terrible calamity in your life. And so even if that might be a little bit of sin, it's really not all that bad. The devil has 101 tricks up his sleeve and lies in his coffers that he's going to whisper in your ear to keep you from conquering the sin in your life. So the first step that has to happen is simply recognize you've got a problem. And that's why I'm here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, where it talks about the sin that does so easily beset us. I want you to know you're not in the boat by yourself. In fact, every one of us find ourselves in that same boat. We all have that sin nature. And in this verse, God assures us that all of us have a sin that the devil is able to wreak havoc in our spiritual lives with. That he tempts us and we have so much difficulty to overcome it that we oftentimes fall and succumb to his temptation. So don't feel bad if you say, yes, I do have a sin that I need to conquer in my life. We all do. In fact, I believe that if we go back to Romans chapter 3, now we're not going to turn there, y'all know the verse, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we use that passage when it comes to dealing with someone regarding their soul, whether or not they need to receive Christ or not. They need to know they're a sinner. And we use that verse in that context, and rightly so, because it is teaching that. But what it's also teaching is after we receive Christ as our Savior, guess what? We don't stop sinning. We still have sinned and come short of the glory of God, even after salvation. And so we need to recognize we all have a sin problem, And we need to recognize that God wants us to overcome it. God wants us to have the victory. And so if you want to overcome anger or any other sin, recognize it to be a problem. Let's turn back now to Mark chapter 5. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and the beginning of the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount has the Beatitudes. And I'm going to look at just one of these Beatitudes in regards to how to conquer sin in our lives. The first thing we need to do is recognize the problem. Here in verse number 6 of Matthew chapter 5, we read these words, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Are you hungry right now? Man, it smells good, doesn't it? I can't wait till I'm done. That's what my mind is saying inside. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. But anyway, are you hungry? But it's not just saying, are you hungry? Do you hunger? It's kind of a little different situation there. I ate breakfast this morning. Now, it was a little bit early when I ate. I think it was about 5:30, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's a little bit early. It's been a while. So I'm hungry. But what if I didn't eat breakfast? In fact, what if I didn't eat supper yesterday or lunch or breakfast yesterday? What about Friday? Maybe I got busy and just didn't have time to eat. If we come now from Friday out not having breakfast, lunch, dinner, Saturday, no breakfast, lunch, dinner, Sunday, no breakfast, now I'm beginning to hunger, aren't I? You see, it's a little different thing. And guess what would happen when I went downstairs for this Sunday potluck? You would be shocked at my behavior as I push my way to the front. Instead of putting a little bit on a plate, I take a whole casserole dish and set it down in front of me and just start, because I would hunger. I'm trying to paint a mental picture for you of what God is talking about to make the second point, because this is important. It's important to recognize we have a problem, but we also need to have a desire to prevail. We need to have a desire to prevail. Unfortunately, too often, we learn to live with the sin in our lives. And we become content with where we are spiritually. Because we can remember back to when we first got saved and all the mess our life was at that time. If you're saved younger, maybe you don't appreciate it, how God cleans us up. But if you're saved later like me, the mess our life was when we first got saved and how far He's brought us and all the victories that have been won and all the sin that has already been conquered. But unfortunately, there's still that sin that does so easily beset us because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we've learned to live with it over the years. Been over 40 years for me now, over 43 years actually that I've been saved. And it's easy to say, well, you know, I've grown a lot. I've learned the scriptures a whole lot more than I knew back then. I didn't even know where Genesis was the night I got led to the Lord. I was handed a Bible and I was asked to turn to the book of Genesis. And I looked over at my friend and said, where's that? Just about everybody knows where Genesis is, but I didn't. That's how ignorant I was of scriptural things. So I've learned a couple things in the Word of God. And I can be content and I can be satisfied and say, man, God's brought me a long way. Because it's certainly nothing I've done of myself. It's all the credit goes to God. But what Jesus is telling us here about hungering and thirsting, not after food and water, but after righteousness. You see, He says you need to have that desire, that burning desire that I would have if I hadn't eaten since last Thursday night, that I would have if we go down to eat lunch in just a few minutes. He's saying you've got to hunger, not just be hungry. You've got to hunger. There has to be that burning desire to grow in the Lord and to refine ourselves and sanctify even more than what we were yesterday and the day before that. There needs to be continual growth. What they always say is if you're not growing, you're backsliding in the Christian life. And we don't like to think about that because so often we reach a plateau and we just stay there. Now, there are times when we stay there, but we should always be striving to climb up that next cliff to that next plateau. If we reach a plateau and we're satisfied and we just hang out there and just kick our feet back and recline in the hammock and sip on that iced tea and say, achieved now what I ever hoped to achieve and stop, we will never conquer the sin that remains. Never. And so if we're going to conquer sin, we've got to first of all recognize the problem. Secondly, we need to have that desire, that burning desire to prevail. Well, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 18, another very familiar verse. I don't think we use it often enough when it comes to dealing with the sin in our lives, whether it be anger or anything else. Verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That last phrase, be filled with the Spirit. And the point, now I'm trying to do a type of alliteration. There'll be a P in each point. Yield to your protector. I was going to be real fancy and use the word paraclete. Does anyone besides Pastor Stephen know what the paraclete is? It is Greek, yeah. My wife does. I knew she would know. But not very many. Paraclete is the word for comforter, the Greek word for comforter. One called alongside to help. You know, God has given us the Holy Spirit the moment we got saved. We're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. But not all of us are filled with the Spirit. In fact, I'd venture to say that the average Christian is not, nor do they even know what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And all it is we're not getting more of the Holy Spirit. But what we're getting is a yielded heart to the Holy Spirit's control. We're saying, God, I'll step aside. I'm tired of you being the co-pilot. Why don't you move over and be the pilot? I was reading the other day and I came across this. This fella was speeding down a country road and lost control and wound up in a ditch and smashed his car. Didn't get injured badly, just bumps and bruises. Well, there was a farmer out plowing his field who came to see if he was okay. The car was totaled, but it had a bumper sticker. God rides with me. And the farmer asked if he wanted to ride. He said, yeah. He said, well, you better ask God too, because he's not safe driving with you. So anyway. But that bumper sticker was so popular so many years ago. And it didn't last long because everybody realized, even though it's a nice sentimental thought, it's just not a good thought. It's a wrong thought that God is my co-pilot. The fact is, God ought to be the pilot. And when we're yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit, He becomes the pilot in our lives. You got a choice to make. What do you do? Which one do I like most? Which one do I think? No. It is that moment where we go in prayer and ask God how we should proceed. Remember Ezra, when he was sad in the king's court, and the king recognized it and asked him about it. What's the first thing he did? He prayed. He prayed. He wanted God's direction. That's being filled with the Spirit. When the tempter comes and whispers in our ear about that sin, whether it be anger or anything else, he says, you just need to yield to this. It will bring you satisfaction. It will bring you pleasure. It will make you feel better about yourselves. And he's whispering all those lies in your ears. What you need to do is bow your head and say, God, what would you have me do? Would you have me give that person a piece of my mind? Or would you have me go out and do whatever it is that the devil is tempting? Well, we know what the answer would be, and so we oftentimes don't bother to do that, do we? Because this goes back to the previous point. We don't really desire to prevail. We enjoy our sin too much. Or it's difficult for us. A drunkard has so much difficulty saying no to booze that it's been diagnosed as a disease. Now, foolishly so. And if you follow the science, we use that term in Sunday school. I can use it now that the pandemic is over officially. I think it was over a long, long time ago, but our government's never been shy about milking things, have they? And maybe your opinion is different than mine. That was my personal opinion. And anyway, a drunkard is a drunkard and not an alcoholic. It is not a disease. Why would our government bottle and tax a disease? And that's why the science refutes common philosophy of the day. You see, I know it's not easy. What about smoking? Nicotine has that physical addiction, as does so many other drugs. And yes, nicotine is a drug. A person that smokes, guess what? They're a drug addict. They don't like to think of it that way, but that's exactly what it is. They're addicted to nicotine. If they want to get off it, the easiest way is get that patch. They're still getting their drug fix, just not smoking or inhaling the smoke. I understand some things are hard to stop, and anger oftentimes is just the same. It's not easy. And that's where the Holy Spirit is so necessary. You link Him with that desire to prevail, and you've got a good chance to come out successful. There'll be times where you fail and times that you fall, but you'll begin to see success at a greater frequency than ever before if you'll just simply yield to the Holy Spirit and be filled with Him and allow Him to guide our ship and control our lives. Well, there's another step. Now, each one is critical and each one is necessary. You can't pick and choose which one you prefer or which ones you can live with and which ones you can't. Turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. First, we need to recognize the problem. Secondly, we need to desire to prevail. Thirdly, we need to yield to our protector. John chapter 15, verse number 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Just simply immerse yourself and to stay with the peas. I put the word prophecy, and by the word prophecy, what I mean is scripture. Immerse yourself in scripture. And I know some of these things, and this one in particular, and the previous point I've talked about before, but I'm trying to put it all together because it's been so broken up that I want you to get how to conquer sin in your life, and specifically anger. But whatever sin it is that's always beset you, you can conquer it, and this is how. I want you all in just one message to have this message together. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. There's a cleansing nature to the Word of God, but we're so busy that we don't have time to spend time in the Word of God. How many times do we read through the Bible in a year? How many times have we done that? Have we ever done that in our lives? But we say, I just don't have time to do that. But we watch, sit down and watch a whole baseball game. Now they don't take as long anymore, do they? They take less than 3 hours, but still you're close to 2.5 hours about for a baseball game today. We'll sit down and watch a football game, including the halftime show, but we don't have time for the Word of God. We do so many things that it's just simply our choice. God has given us all the same amount of hours in a day. Now, go back to point number two. Do you really desire to prevail over the sin in your life? Is that more important to you than watching the ball game? Ladies, I don't know what you do. I watch my wife, not for very long, because I get exhausted. She's always busy. Not me. So I can't watch. So I don't know what you ladies do to occupy your time. But we all have the same amount of time in a day. And surely, if you truly desire to conquer the sin in your life, you will make a priority out of the Word of God. I've told you about different people that have spent ridiculous amounts of time, by most people's estimation, in God's Word. I know one preacher who is spending enough time where he read the entire Bible every single month. Now, that's a commitment, but he did it for a year that I knew of, and I know he kept on going from that, but then he resigned the church and went to another church, and I lost contact with him. Now, that's spending some time. That's putting it as a priority. Now, I don't know that that was the reason. I think he just felt that because he was a young, very young man, he needed to know God's Word more clearly and understand it better. I think that was his motivation. But I've known people that have put an inordinate amount of time in the Word of God. Why? Because they made it a priority. If you truly desire to prevail, hunger and thirsting after righteousness, you'll make it a priority too. And you'll find time. You'll make time. It's really not that hard to do. It's just changing the mind a little bit. And if you'll yield to the protector, to the Holy Spirit of God, it'll be easy and it'll be a joy and a satisfaction. So you need to immerse yourself in Scripture. or in prophecy. And then in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. This is quite a passage of scripture. Following immediately upon the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus took three of his disciples up on the mountain, was transfigured, Moses and Elijah appear. And then they come back down the mountain, and they find a crowd of people around the disciples that were still at the base of the mountain. And there was a poor little fella there. I don't know how old the son was, but he was possessed by a devil. And the disciples, as hard as they probably and apparently tried, couldn't do anything for the poor fella. And then Jesus comes along, and the dad runs over and pleads his case, and Jesus rebukes the devil. The devil leaves. The little fella's okay. Well, when they got alone, you can imagine what was going through the minds of those disciples that had been left at the base of the mountain. Why couldn't we do this? You did it. That devil obeyed you. We've had devils obey us on many occasions. There's really no reason why we shouldn't have been able to do what you just did based on past experience. And Jesus says this in verse 21 in response to their questions. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. We have issues in our lives that we can try all we want. We can buy books and read them through on that particular subject to help. It's not going to do us much good. Because this kind goeth out by prayer and fasting. So I'd like to suggest step number 5 on how to conquer sin. Step 1, recognize the problem. Step 2, desire to prevail. Step 3, yield to your protector. Step 4, immerse yourself in prophecy. Step 5, give yourself to prayer and fasting. You see, there's different kinds of devils that we all deal with. We don't like to talk about them today. We can't see them, and anything we can't see doesn't exist. That's the common philosophy of today. And if you start thinking there's things, beings around you that no one else can see, people start to think you're a little funny. And they call the men in white suits and padded trucks to put a nice little jacket on you that the arms tie in the back. That's what you think. But that doesn't change the fact. A wise man recently said, the truth is the truth, even if nobody ever believes it. And a lie is a lie, no matter how many people believe. Well, that's true about demons and devils as well. Now, a believer cannot, and this is a whole other message, and I'm not going to get into the explanation, but believers cannot be possessed by a devil. It's an impossibility. It will not ever happen. But believers can be oppressed. We can have a demon or a devil assigned to us. Devil is the biblical word. Demon is the common word we use today. We can have a devil assigned to us by Satan himself to trouble us as much as possible. And God says, there's a certain kind that is stronger that you just can't deal with on your own. And ordinary attempts to get rid of him just aren't going to work. And God says what you need to do is you need to give yourself to prayer and to fasting. And if you will give yourself to prayer and fasting, you can conquer that sin. And you can drive those devils away so that they don't oppress you anymore. And so the conclusion of all this, looking at these 5 steps, only number 1 is easy. Only number 1's easy. And so the question then becomes, how badly do you want to overcome the sin in your life? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Because we have a promise of God there, don't we? They shall be filled. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, it's no surprise to you for us to admit we have a sin problem, whether it be anger or anything else. And Father, we know you've provided all the means for us to win the victory. And you've promised us the victory. And so the question remains, why do we struggle? Father, give us all this burning desire this morning to overcome the sin in our lives. Not that we'll be anything, but that you'll get the glory. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.